Hello, and welcome to the Milaha 2022 earnings conference call. I would like to advise all participants that this call is being recorded. I'd now like to welcome Shahan to begin the conference. Shahan, over to you.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. I wanna welcome you to Milaha's fourth quarter and fiscal year 2022 financial results conference call. On this call from the company's management, we have Akram Iswaisi, Executive VP, Finance and Investments, Sami Shtayyeh, VP, Financial Planning and Analysis. As usual, we'll conduct this conference with first management reviewing the company's results, followed by Q&A. I will now turn the call over to Akram. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you everyone for joining Milaha's year-end 2022 earnings call and your interest in the company. I will be starting with our consolidated financial results, and then we'll go through our various segments before turning it over to Sami to go over our outlook. As usual, we will end the call with questions and answers. The key highlights of our financial results for 2022, Milaha's operating revenues came in at 3.3 billion for the full year of 2022, compared with 2.8 billion for the same period in 2021, for an increase of 18%. Operating profit came in at 487 million for the full year of 2022, compared with 250 million for the same period in 2021, for an increase of 92%. The net profit for the full year of 2022 was 1 billion, compared with 724 million for the same period in 2021, for an increase of 40%. Lastly, our earnings per share was 0.89 riyal for the full year of 2022, compared with 0.64 riyals for the same period in 2021. Now moving on to our segments and starting off with Maritime and Logistics. 2022 was a great year for the segment and the best in recent memory, if not the best in a long time. Maritime and Logistics benefited from strong container shipping rates that stayed elevated for much of the year. At the same time, we had significant increase in volumes in our logistics business. Both contributed to an overall revenue growth of 26% or 286 million, with variable expenses growing very much in line with the revenues. Despite a decline in shipping rates in the last few months of 2022, we ended the year with a net profit of 85 million or 43% versus 2021. Offshore, similarly posted fantastic results in 2022, with operating revenue growing by 26% or 247 million versus the same period in 2021. This growth was driven by increased vessel chartering activities, increased utilization, as well as additional projects and work that we picked up, you know, in 2022 and the years before. In addition to that, we had the employment of the lift boat, which was essentially idle in 2021, but it was working in 2022. Overall, you know, offshore did a fantastic job compared to the same period in 2021. Variable expenses increased in line with revenue, and various accounting provisions impairments that had a negative impact on our 2021 numbers did not recur in 2022. The net income result year-over-year was an increase of 196 million or 167%. With respect to the gas and petchem segment, we recorded a 14% drop in revenue. We also had a pickup of 28% in operating profit versus 2021, primarily due to our divestment of both the tanker and gas carrier assets. The tanker assets in specific performed poorly in 2021 due to low shipping rates. By divesting these assets, we essentially cut our losses. At the non-operating level, income increased by 51 million, driven by the following four factors. Number one, 66 million in additional income coming primarily from our share in Nakilat. a decrease of $10 million, coming primarily from our VLGC joint venture. Gulf LPG, has been impacted by low rates in the same period, basically this year compared to the same period last year. And then we had a $19 million gain on sale of assets. And then lastly, we took an impairment on an LNG carriers. And so therefore, we had an additional loss or an impact of $30 million this year. Net profit for the segment ended up $70 million, or 14% versus the same period in 2021. Now, in our trading segment, we were able to cut losses by $7 million versus the same period in 2021 by selling more marine-related products and heavy equipment, thus improving margins. And lastly, Malaha Capital, on the investment side, revenue increased by $43 million. In real estate, revenue increased by $11 million, coming from the full impact of our villa compound, which was leased in Q3 of 21. On the expense side, we recorded a bad debt provision, $27 million, all of which resulted in overall operating profit growth of $17 million, or 11% versus the same period in 21. On the non-operating income level, however, results came down, lower by $85 million from an impairment on one of our real estate properties. But overall, we ended with a net profit drop of $69 million compared the same period last year. And with that, I wrap up the analysis on the segments, and I turn it over to Sami to discuss the outlook. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Akram. Starting with maritime and logistics, on the container shipping side, we saw rates drop dramatically in the last few months of 2022, and they are almost back to pre-COVID levels, where we expect them to stabilize. In logistics, we expect a slowdown in the first half of the year, but expect an uptick during the second half of 2023. In offshore, on both the support vessels and services side, as well as the harbor side, we expect a continuation of what we saw in 2022. Longer term, we expect the expansion in Qatar's oil and gas industry to have a positive impact on the segment. In gas and petrochem, overall, we expect limited volatility due to the long-term nature of contracts we have in most business units. Our VLGC JV is the exception, where performance is difficult to predict due to volatile spot prices. In trading, we were able to improve performance substantially in 2022, and we will continue to work on growing the business and margins. And lastly, capital, we will continue to focus on yield enhancement. And with that, we'll now open up the questions, operator.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Our first question comes from the line of Nikhil Pupain from CBFF. Your line is now open.
Well, hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for the presentation. Good set of results, especially in context of 2021. Now, my question actually is related with certain few segments. Firstly, in terms of your gas and petrochem, what we are seeing is your operating expenses normally varies a lot. So wanted to understand what is the logic behind it, because in fourth quarter there has been a quite a steep drop in fact. So needed to understand from that point of view. We can understand gas carriers have been wind off, but still it looks quite steep as compared to what we see in the previous quarters. My second question has got to do with again gas petrochem in terms of any further impairments could likely be seen. My understanding was figures was going to be much more higher. So, 2023, are we going to be seeing further impairments on vessels? Coming to your maritime and logistics division, we see again in the fourth quarter, your shipyard and shipping agencies, our understanding, there has been kind of a loss the way it looks like. So, what has been the reason behind that? And partly in terms of your provisions for impairment of trade receivables also gone quite high up in the fourth quarter. So there's a reason behind this. Yeah, that is very exactly. Please. Thank you.
Okay, that's a lot of questions in one shot. So let me start with the first one. You said gas and petchem. I mean, listen, the performance of basic gas and petchem is essentially steady with the exception of Gulf LPG, which is subject to certain volatility because we're talking about LPG tankers that are essentially exposed to the spot market. And so, you know, there will be variations from perhaps quarter to quarter. And so, and that's really what essentially would cause volatility quarter over quarter. Now, in Q4 of 2022, we did take an impairment. So on two of the LNG vessels, but that impacts, if you look at operating profit before impairments, it's relatively steady, and that impairment impacts primarily the profitability. So this is really the main impact on our gas and petchem. What was the second question?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of your, you mentioned about impairments. Actually, last time I suppose I remember, impairments you mentioned will not be there likely in, further going around, but still we are seeing around 80 million which came up in the fourth quarter. So wanted to know what is this and what do you expect in future, sir?
Sure. I mean, listen, again, in our previous calls, we've said we're not going to take, we're likely not going to take large impairments like we've done in the past, but there will be impairments to adjust the market conditions. Now, the impairments we took are on the long-term LNG contract, LNG vessels. So there's a long-term contract, and, the impact of that, again, when we value those LNG vessels, because they're fixed on long-term contracts, is we use the DCF. The various assumptions that go into the valuation, including operating costs, financing costs, when do we have to refinance the vessels. So there are a host of different variables that go into that calculation, and naturally, as per IFRS standard, we have to make adjustments accordingly. So again, we said we're not going to take significant impairments, but we also said we will take them in accordance with IFRS, and that's exactly what we did.
So you believe that, the future cash flows have been affected, and that's where exactly this impairment has come into picture, right?
Well, that's what I just said. We use DCF, so we have to use cash flow because these are... The contract, so it's a long-term contract, but it's a DCF valuation.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Then, of course, wanted to understand in terms of, what has happened on your maritime logistics. I mean, the run rate of around, say, 350 million, per quarter has been quite, I'm not going to be saying very steep, but, it has come down 311. So what has been the reason behind it? And,
Let's start with one question at a time because too many, I will forget the question if you keep going on. As it relates to M&L, I think we've clearly said that container shipping rates that have been experienced by container shipping industry are unprecedented. So this year and last year, container shipping markets globally have enjoyed, significant profits, phenomenal rates. The gravy train has run its course, and rates are coming down. And we started experiencing that in the fourth quarter of 2022. So the drop, that you're seeing, and we talk about Q4, largely has to do with the fact that container rates are coming down. So this is not a phenomenon that's unique to us, but it's also a global phenomenon. Everybody who's in the same business is beginning to see container rates coming down significantly.
Okay, and I just wanted to clarify, I can understand that, but in fact, container shipping actually has moved up, suppose I'm not mistaken, but your shipyard actually has shown, is that right to say that it has shown a loss, something like this, on your shipyard business for your fourth quarter?
Well, the shipyard is going through a repair and upgrade, so there's a transition period right now that we're going through. So... we've undertaken a major upgrade initiative for the shipyard to be able to accommodate market needs and to be able to grow the business in the future. So, again, we're in a transition period where essentially the shipyard is going through a major upgrade.
So you're talking about the floating dock, which where you were looking at it. That's where exactly you mentioned
floating
that
dock,
be looking
and
at
again, and a floating dock is something, and I'm talking also about upgrading the shipyard as well.
So indirectly that has given a loss, the way it looks like for the fourth quarter, right?
What's that? I can't hear you.
No.
Sorry. To repeat that question.
That has contributed to your operating losses in a huge way. The fourth quarter.
And again, part of it is a slowdown in the business because we are making those upgrades right now. So there's work that's being undertaken right now.
So when exactly we could be seeing, the fructification of all this going forward in 2023?
We're going to see some by the end of next year. This is a major initiative, so this is going to take a little bit of time.
Okay, and impairment on your trade. Yeah. Lastly, in terms of your trade receivables, there has been some impairments. So what has been there? It is not in line with what has been in the past. So any, can you give us some ideas? What has been the reason behind it?
We use an ECL model as per IFRS standards, so it adjusts to the market. If there are delays in the payments, the provisions go up higher, so nothing major. Last year, there's a lot of business, there's a lot of growth. We also have projects, long-term projects, and there are some delays in the payments on those projects, but nothing really material right now.
Okay.
Let me add one more thing. We're actually much more conservative in the way we look at provisions. So our model is quite conservative, and so we usually take a much more conservative approach to the way we look at receivables and allowance for bad debt. So this is something very standard. We don't like to be very aggressive, but we're typically very conservative in how we look at the receivables.
Okay. And lastly, a good set of results on Milaha Trading, actually. What is more important is, your operating, your gross margin has been improving quite nicely. Can you just, make us explain on how that has been contributing in terms of 2022 going forward in 2023, how we foresee that?
Well, listen, if you look at Milaha Trading, it's a small business unit. So contribution to the bottom line has been insignificant, right? Negligible.
Right.
Now, we've been working on restructuring this business unit, potentially maybe looking at, merging certain business units with others to be able to gain cost efficiencies and perhaps exiting certain businesses and really focusing on, high margin business. So these are strategic decisions that are being evaluated and will be taken in Q1 of 2023 as it relates to this business.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Atom. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Faisal Al Zabi from NBK Capital. Your line is now open.
Thank you, gentlemen, for the presentation and congratulations on a strong year. Just a very basic question on how do you expect things to pan out for the upcoming year? As you've kindly mentioned, the level of container and shipping rates that we have been seeing for the past 2 years due to COVID are abnormal. So is it a fair assumption to say that we shouldn't be expecting any earnings growth this year, given that the section represent the largest of the business pillars?
Okay. Thank you very much for the question. Now, when rates started going up, we knew that this trend is not sustainable. So there's been heavy investments in basically Milaha offshore, which is going to be one of the main growth drivers in the future. Now, I think you're well aware that there's a significant amount of oil and gas activities happening, not only in Qatar, but also in the region. And so, we've got a good pipeline of work and opportunities coming up in this segment. And as you can tell from the profitability, it continues to improve. And in our in our view and from our perspective, there's a lot more potential in that segment. Again, in terms of how we're operating the business, but also in terms of the market that we're serving, and we are very well positioned again in Qatar to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. I think everybody is well aware that Qatar is really the oil and gas sector is one of the really promising, let's say, sectors or areas of growth in Qatar for the next few years. So we're well aware of the fact that, and we anticipated that revenue is going to drop on container shipping, but we've also been making investments to replace that revenue and continue to grow the business in the future.
All right. Thank you.
So again, if you would like to ask question, press star, the number one on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Jagdish Tanvi from Avalon Global Research. Your line is now open.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the call and thank you for good results. Yeah, I have one question. In the trading business, I mean, the company has made profit for this quarter, whereas it has been incurring losses. So can you tell me what was the reason? Like, what is it due to the prices or due to cost cut down? Or like, what is that?
Listen, as a company, we are really focused on, we're in a business that's, globally quite challenging, right? It's a business where you have to leverage technology, where you have to look at how you run your business on a day-to-day basis, your ability to really deliver your service as fast as possible and as efficiently as possible. So we really have taken a much harder look at our business and started going back to basics, saying, okay, how do we deliver the service? Where can we cut costs? And so we've been doing a lot more of that and trying to focus on outcome as quickly as possible and as efficiently as possible. And you're beginning to see some of those results. So a big focus on, profitable growth. That's an area that we're focused on. Growth just for the hell of growth is not really what we're looking for. Effectively, we're looking at profitable growth. This is one of the things that we started looking at in this business. So and as I mentioned earlier, there will be some, certain product lines that we may just decide to shut down and really focus on where we can make money. So again, we have choices and we're beginning to make decisions and really execute on some of those choices. And this is exactly what you've seen. And we have we've got a good management team, the guys who are running this business, especially in a very difficult environment. Because as you're well aware, this business has historically been tied to infrastructure spending in the country. So we've benefited like any other company that's in the same line of work. On the back of strong infrastructure spending, selling of trucks, equipment, construction equipment, and whatnot. So this basically business is not as attractive as it used to be. And so a big part of our focus is focusing on serving vessel owners, which is what we are good at. We are historically, and we still are, a vessel owner. And so ship chandlering, supply chain services to vessel owners is an area we're going to focus on more and more because we think we can add value in that space and make money at the same time.
I hope
that answers your question.
Yeah. Hello? Okay.
Yeah, I got this.
Now, this is one more follow-up question. In the offshore segment, I mean, the company has recorded a tax expenses of around 2.8 million, which was not there in the last 2-3 quarters. So is it just a one-off item or like it is going to be a recurring tax expenses in the near future as well? And if you can give me some guidance on the same.
On the tax expense?
Yep, in the offshore business.
Yeah, it's one of items, right? I mean, because we've had international operations, right? We had the lift boat working in Nigeria, we have legal entities in Europe and in Asia. So there's always going to be some degree of tax exposure, but it's not material. I don't think, and again, as we continue, if we expand outside of Qatar, there will be tax exposure, of course. So I can't tell you if it's not going to be recurring or not, because again, this is, again, an expense that we have to incur this year. But if we expand, if we start, you know, operating, let's say, outside of Qatar, there could potentially be exposure, tax exposure, wherever we operate. And so I think you're well aware that, you know, global minimum tax is being implemented globally, even in the region. So in the long run, there will be tax exposure coming up.
This is not going to be recurring, right, in the near future?
What's that?
This is not going to be recurring expense in the near future.
But again, I can't answer that question, because if we take an action on our business this year in somewhere outside of Qatar, there may be tax exposure. We may have to pay taxes, but this is a one-off item. Okay. Businesses do pay taxes if they operate in certain jurisdictions.
Okay. Got it. Thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from the line of Nikhil Phupain from CBFF. Your line is now open.
All right. Thanks. It just went through all the questions which have been given across. One, of course, which has been mentioned in terms of outlook for 2023. And we don't want to specify in terms of how it could pan out, 2023 itself. But given the fact that, we are seeing rates still not very great, very lukewarm, and it indirectly means the first quarter, especially for your, certain segments like offshore and logistics, could be under pressure. So do we expect that, can you give some throw light in terms of how it will be panning out for the first quarter, especially given the background that, everything is becoming very challenging across the world? I'm talking about recession, but slowdown generally.
Container shipping, as I've mentioned, rates are coming down, so we will see an impact on container shipping business right now in Q1. Logistics business, done very well in Q4. Volumes have gone up, but we expect a dip in Q1 as well. Obviously in Q1 we typically have, in terms of our results, we have income or dividends pick up from our investment portfolio. So you'll see that pick up in Q1. On the offshore side, and even on gas and petchem, we are looking at a number of tenders and opportunities within Qatar and even certain opportunities outside of Qatar. And so, depending on when we're able to win those tenders, potentially looking at asset acquisitions as well that will add a substantial top line and bottom line, to Milaha's numbers as well. And so, but Q1, I think, will be a bit challenging, but we expect things to start improving in Q2 all the way on to Q4 as we execute on a lot of these tenders that we have on these asset acquisitions that we're looking at. Again, I think offshore, and as I mentioned again before, looks very promising. There's a lot of upside that we see in the market. We are a leader in Qatar in the offshore space. We have a large fleet and a strong track record with oil majors, very well positioned to take advantage of these opportunities. And again, at the same time, listen, at the management level of Milaha, we recognize there's a lot more that we can do in terms of operating, how we operate our business. Again, I think this is a theme globally, digitization and doing more with less, improving processes, removing complexity. We are going back and looking at the way we run our business. How can we do them faster? How can we do things faster, more efficiently? So a key theme for us is doing more with less. And so we're looking at, essentially cost cutting, digitization, which in my view go hand in hand. Your ability to digitize your business allows you then to build scalability into your business. So going forward, it generates more incremental improvements to the bottom line. So it's a really big focus for us this year, more so that I can remember in the past 10 years, to be honest with you. So much, and you'll see much more on that this year and we'll try to disclose as much as we can in the next earnings call on what we really have done. But again, digitization, using technology, we do have a lot of tools at our disposal, but there's a big emphasis all the way from the top at the board level to really look at how we run our business to become much more efficient.
Yeah, I mean, we understand that. I mean, you know, digitization, of course, will help you in cutting down the cost and other things. But since you mentioned about offshore and you mentioned about LNG, I just wanted to understand, given the NFC, you know, South project, which is now, I hope, is started to, I mean, I design state, and after that, maybe it will start, hopefully, that's what the banks are saying, by the mid of 2023. What do you foresee for QNNS from that point of view? I mean, is there something, some kind of tie-up which could help, given the fact that, you know, QGTS is also there in, up and running for the gas supply? How much you could be seeing that getting attribution, say, in the second half of 2023 for your offshore business? Can you just throw some light?
Unfortunately, we can't disclose that information. I mean, again, there's a lot of tenders in place and there are a lot of discussions, and we can't disclose anything to the public at the moment. When we win the tender or contract, we'll be able to disclose it at some point. But again, right now, we can't really speculate on our win rate or success rate on these tenders. But clearly, as I mentioned, we are a national champion here in Qatar. We are supportive of these initiatives and the oil and gas activities. So, and we're working actively to win these tenders and grow our business. Because we're white, you know, as I mentioned, we're very well positioned. We have the fleet. We have the know-how, the capabilities. So we're very well positioned to be able to win that business. But disclosing numbers, I can't disclose the numbers to you.
Okay. I appreciate it. Much appreciated. Just the last question, actually, on your biggest division, gas and petrochem. In terms of your, you know, margins has been quite nicely maintained over the last, you can say, 2 to 3 years. What do you foresee going forward? I mean, this kind of margin is, you know, quite, I mean, very difficult to look forward to, I mean, going forward. Do you see that? I mean, in 2023, this margin could be coming down?
Listen, in all honesty, I mean, we, you know, operating costs in general are going up. And you see that everybody's struggling with inflation and cost to operate, but we are in that space looking at various opportunities, you know, to grow that business. So we are looking at investing in maritime assets, but very much focused on, you know, assets with long-term contracts and predictable cash flows. So the margins, I can say they are sustainable, and I don't expect a big drop in those margins, but in the long run, we are looking to grow that business even more. We've exited certain segments of the business, which are volatile. Tankers is a very, very tough business these days. It's very difficult to make money. You know, best way to make money in tankers is really by flipping assets, and we're not in the business of really flipping assets. We're very focused on cash flow. And so we are looking at assets and asset acquisitions potentially that can add more more profitability to the company and really focused on cash flow. So cash.
Just a small question, since you mentioned about your, you know, vessels long-term contract, can I have an idea about what is the average right now for your vessels, average tenure for your LNG
vessel? For which vessel?
For your LNG vessels.
LNG vessel?
Yes.
We have what's left, we got 9 and 11.
Okay. I mean, I'm talking about average tenure of the contract. Is it right to 11 years? That's what you're saying?
Segment, all of the segments. I mean, we have a lot of different types of vessels. So,
no, I'm
vessels
talking
that
for
are
gas. I'm talking only for your gas.
Yeah, and I mean, well, listen, we have, and if you look at, we have, let's say, average from 7 to 10 years.
Okay, 7 to 10 years. Okay. Thanks, really appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem.
At this time, there are no further questions. I'll turn the call back over to our speakers.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, you know, for your interest in Milaha. We had a great year, and we look forward to a fantastic year in 2023, and I guess we'll see you in Q1 2023 earnings call. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.